Yes.
Council will please come to order. Turn on my mic, that would be helpful. The mayor is traveling in China, so as president of the council, I'll be presiding officer today. Carla, we have a 2 o'clock time certain. Would you please read the item?
Should we take roll call?
Excuse me. Let's do a roll call first.
Saltzman?
Here.
Udaly?
Here.
Fritz?
Here.
Wheeler? Fish?
Here. Okay, we have a couple of items this afternoon. We'll start with the 2 o'clock time certain.
Do we want to read the rules first, or...
Yes, let's do that, too.
Sure.
Okay.
Happy to.
This could be a long afternoon. Let's do the rules first. Thank you.
I'll read them quickly. Welcome to the Portland City Council. The City Council represents all Portlanders and meets to do the city's business. The presiding officer preserves order and decorum during the City Council meetings so everyone can feel welcome, comfortable, respected, and safe. To participate in council meetings, you may sign up in advance with the council clerk's office for communications to briefly speak about any subject. You may also sign up for public testimony on resolutions or first readings of ordinances. Your testimony should address the matter being considered at the time. When testifying, please state your name for the record. Your address is not necessary. Please disclose if you are a lobbyist. If you are representing an organization, please identify it. Presiding officer determines the length of testimony. Individuals generally have 3 minutes to testify unless otherwise stated. When you have 30 seconds left, a yellow light goes on. When your time is done, a red light goes on. If you are in the audience and would like to show your support for something that is said, please feel free to do a thumbs up. If you want to express that you do not support something, please feel free to do a thumbs down. Disruptive conduct, such as shouting or interrupting testimony or council deliberations, will not be allowed. If there are disruptions, a warning will be given that further disruption may result in the person being ejected for the remainder of the meeting. After being ejected, a person who fails to leave the meeting is subject to arrest for trespass. Thank you for helping your fellow Portlanders feel welcome, comfortable, respected, and safe.
Thank you very much. Okay, so I've been given a script. Hopefully I won't screw this up. We are here for further deliberations on the council amendments to the MAP reconciliation project. The written record was reopened following the last council session on April 4th and closed yesterday on Tuesday, April 24th at 8 a.m. Before we proceed, I want to ask my colleagues, do any of you intend to offer amendments today?
Should we read the title first?
Yes, let's do the title.
397. Amend the 2035 Comprehensive Plan map and amend the official city zoning map to carry out Portland's 2035 Comprehensive Plan.
Thank you, Carla. So, colleagues, does anyone intend to offer an amendment this afternoon?
Yes.
Yes.
Okay, so we have 2 amendments that will be offered. I've conferred with staff, and here's my preferred way of dealing with this. Are both of the amendments to item number 19?
Yes.
No, I have one on number 9 and one on number 12, as well as number 19.
So 9, 12, and 19. So it's my intention on any amendment that's offered today to allow testimony, limited testimony at this hearing of up to 2 minutes on any matter for which there's an amendment. On item number 19, all that is required is a second to put the amendment on the table. We'll take testimony, and then it's my intention to schedule the final vote on amendments at a time certain for next week. All other matters will be addressed today during the hearing. And before we have a staff presentation, why don't we put the amendments on the table and see if there's a second? Commissioner Udaly, would you like to offer your amendment?
Yes. So... just to be clear, does my original amendment still need to be seconded? Okay,
no.
So we're moving on. Okay. So since we discussed amendment number 19, we've heard from property owners of the adjoining property to the parking lot at 5027 Northeast Mallory Avenue, the Hicks family. They've owned the adjacent property to the parking lot for over 40 years, and they feel that the Alberta Alive project will change the nature of their property and their enjoyment of their home, and as such, they've decided to sell if the Alberta Alive is built. It's currently home to, it's a multi-generational household. They came to me and requested a zone change of CM2 so they too could share in the wealth of a changing neighborhood. However, we've determined that their lot location does not make CM2 a good option, but I am proposing that we make an amendment to change the zoning on their property to R1, which is a more natural progression for the lot. R1 zoning will give the family the most options in redeveloping or selling that property while still maintaining it for strictly residential purposes.
Okay, I will second that amendment to make sure it's on the table.
Can I clarify? So that would be, it sounds like, and staff can correct me if I'm wrong, but that's a new amendment, not Amendment 19. So it would now be Amendment
53.
It's separate. Unless.
Okay, sorry, but I mean, it's related to 19, but yeah, I understand it would be a separate amendment.
Okay.
Just didn't know we were up to 53.
All right, so that's Udaly Amendment. It's Amendment 53 proposed by Commissioner Udaly. Commissioner Daly, do you have any other proposed amendments?
That's all.
Thank you. Commissioner Fritz.
Thank you, President Fish. I have an amendment to Amendment 19, and that is to change the zoning to R1 on both the church sites and the parking lot sites.
Folks, we're not going to allow people to demonstrate during the council meeting, and it just takes up time. So please wave your hands, thumbs up, but no other demonstrations. I'll second that amendment so that it is formally on the table. Commissioner Saltzman, do you have any amendments?
Excuse me. I'd like to withdraw Amendment Number 9, which is the Mount Tabor Park. If the 100 people who came to the Mount Tabor Neighborhood Association were here, they would all be doing the thumbs up as well. So I really appreciate the community input on that particular site. So thank you very much to the community who came out, and I withdraw that amendment.
Without objection, the amendment is withdrawn.
And then finally, I have an amendment to amend to number 12, which is a proposal I originally supported, to add a third property to the rezone request. It's all in the same ownership. So this amendment would rezone 6444 Northeast 66th, along with the two adjoining properties, 6416 Northeast 66th and 6416 Northeast 66th.
I'll second that also so that it's on the table.
That's it. Thank you.
Those are your three amendments. Commissioner Saltzman, do you have any amendments? So let's, if we can, staff, let's just make sure we have the complete list here. Amendment 53 offered by Commissioner Udaly. Amendment to Amendment 19 offered by Commissioner Fritz. Commissioner Fritz is withdrawing and has withdrawn Amendment Number 9. And Commissioner Fritz has offered an amendment to Amendment Number 12.
We have those, correct?
You have those. Mm-hmm. So because those, with the exception of with the withdrawal of Amendment Number 9, which is now no longer on the table, because those are new amendments, we will take testimony today and keep the record open through the end of the week on these three matters after we have a presentation from staff. And then all the other matters before us, I believe, are subject to votes today. We scheduled today for votes. The record is closed. So I think we can dispose of all the other amendments. Mm-hmm. These we'll take testimony on, and we'll schedule with Carla a time certain for next week for the final vote on those amendments. Mm-hmm. So, Marty Stockton, thank you.
Okay. Thank you. So I just wanted to kind of center us today on where we're at. So again, my name is Marty Stockton. I'm the Southeast District Planner with the Bureau of Planning and Sustainability, and I'm the project manager of the Map Refinement Project. So where we're at today is, again, on April 4th, Council deliberated on the recommended draft and moved in second 52 proposed additional amendments that were described in the Council Amendments table before you. The amendments in the council table include new map changes, modifications to the PSC recommended map changes, and a consent package, which includes minor technical map change additions and errata. So those are now incorporated in the three versions of Exhibit A-2, versions 1 through 3 before you today, and referenced in the substitute ordinance. The three versions reflect options for item 19 and a new amendment 53. So we actually have incorporated the new amendments in Exhibit A-2 as discussed just now.
Good.
Okay. So we'd like to discuss those items. Did you want to jump in, go back to the script?
Let me just see where we are here.
So page two.
Yeah.
So just to move into deliberations and vote on the council amendments in Exhibit A2.
Yes, so we will first move into deliberations and vote on council amendments in Exhibit A2. The council amendments are in addition to and or will modify and supersede the changes shown in the recommended draft for the affected properties. I'd like to propose with a couple of tweaks that we consider the amendments in Exhibit A2 in the same batches as we did on April 4th. Mm-hmm. Let's start with items 1 through 18. I propose we take them up as a single batch with the exception of Amendment 9, which has been withdrawn, mm-hmm. and Amendment 12, which will be set over for a vote next week.
Correct.
So this would be 1 through 8, 10, 11, and 13 through 18, which I propose we do as a batch.
Okay, that sounds good.
Can I ask a question on Amendment 17? That's the University Park neighborhood change, which I understand the Neighborhood Association is supportive about, but they are concerned about a heritage tree, which is on one mm-hmm. of the sites. Could you talk to me about the heritage tree, please?
So I am just learning of the heritage tree. So I'm sorry, that was Amendment
17,
correct? I just want to get to it on the slide so we can look at it together. So my understanding is that there is a heritage tree. I don't know exactly which tax lot was referenced by the testimony. This was testimony that came in just within the last 48 hours or so, so I'm still getting up to speed. But my understanding is that it is in, I believe, the sites that are south of, I can't read it, but if you look on the map, it's the R5 to R2 area. So they're just speaking very briefly to the land use chair, Tom Karwacki of University Park. Again, there's been some coordination with both PBOT on a trail that would connect to the tree, but then also coordination with the Housing Bureau. So there are two infrastructure bureaus that are coordinating on this site. That's the best I can do at the moment.
Yeah, the challenge we get into on all of these amendments is that we can't add conditions of approval to comprehensive
plan
map changes. So I'm wondering if we could set this one aside as well, Commissioner Fish, because since Mayor Wheeler's not here today, mm-hmm. I mean, ideally I would like to get an mm-hmm. assurance from the Commissioner in charge of housing that the tree would stay in any development scenario.
I think that makes a lot of sense. So my math is not great, but I'm going to take another crack at what I think is the first bucket that we're going to vote on.
Mm-hmm.
It would be amendments 1 through 8, mm-hmm. 10 through 13,
no.
Excuse me, 1 through 8,
correct.
10, 11, 13 through 16, and 18.
Yes.
So 1 through 8. 10, 11, 13 through 16, and 18, we'd call that bucket A, and we would vote that package as a complete package.
Sounds good.
Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
Any objection, colleagues? Shall we take that up now, just so we get some momentum? Mm-hmm. And we are going to be opening. We are going to be taking testimony for people that would like to testify on Amendment 19. We'll get to that mm-hmm. shortly. So, Carla, why don't we... move to a vote on the package that I just identified.
Saltzman?
Aye.
Udaly?
Aye.
Fritz?
Aye.
Fish?
Aye. So thank you. All right. So I'm skipping through this script here because we've pulled it looks like the next bucket would be
it's Amendment 19. Are there other amendments other than the ones that the council has set aside for testimony
yes.
today that they could vote on?
There are.
Can we do 20?
20 through 21 and then 22 through 52.
So that effectively is 20 through 52.
Correct.
But it's two, so I see you want to keep it in the package. So, colleagues, the proposal is for us to now vote on a consolidated bucket of 20 through 21 and then 22 through 52. These amendments have all been discussed and cleared. Any objection?
Let's do them all in one bucket.
Let's do them all in one bucket. We'll call this bucket number B. Carla, would you please call the roll?
Saltzman?
Aye.
Udaly?
Aye.
Fritz?
So we're whipping through this, but this is an incredible amount of work in a very fine detail, and I just want to thank both all the staff and all the community members who came in to testify about these amendments. I think they're a really good package. Aye.
Fish?
Aye. So, Ms. Stockton, would you like us now to adopt a substitute ordinance with the things we've agreed to, or do you want us to wait till next week to do that?
I'm going to check in with legal counsel on that. I would recommend waiting, and then the substitute ordinance can conform to all of council's amendments as long as there is enough time before the... Okay, yeah, I would recommend waiting on the substitute ordinance.
Okay, very good. And then, so it looks like at this point we should move to public testimony.
Do you want me to, because I actually have all the amendments as discussed, and just walk through them really
if you wouldn't
quickly,
mind. Yeah.
And then we can move to public testimony.
That would be great. So you're gonna take up 12, 19, and 53?
I'm going to take up items 19, which include three versions to 19, including Commissioner Fritz's new amendment.
Okay.
And then also the new 53, which Commissioner Udaly also introduced today.
We also have Amendment 12, where additional property has been added, but do we not need to have a discussion on that?
No.
Okay, good. Okay. Thank you.
Okay, so just to walk through Amendment 19 very quickly, we do have three versions before us today. So the first version is the amendment that Commissioner Udaly entered second in a motion on April 4th. And that was the amendment for CM2 on the surface parking lot at 126 Northeast Alberta, as well as R1 on the Alberta Abbey or church site. So that is, again, version number one. Version number two is that we would actually default back to the Planning and Sustainability Commission's potentially, so this is definitely in the mix, if either version 1 or version 3 do not move forward. So just a reminder of what the default is. And again, the Planning and Sustainability Commission recommended an R1 on the surface parking lot and no change to the church. And the rationale is that the church really just wasn't part of the conversation before the Planning and Sustainability Commission. Version number three, which is, again, what has been introduced by Commissioner Fritz today, is R1 on the surface parking lot and R1 on the church site. Okay. Yep. Go ahead, please.
President Fish.
Yeah.
I feel like it would be useful for me to make some explanatory comments before public testimony, if that's
fine.
All right.
At your discretion.
Yeah. So I understand this is a controversial item in the neighborhood. We've heard from neighbors who support it and from those who oppose it. My goal in this moment is just to set out what could happen on that site with R1 zoning versus CM2. So this is what could happen. If we stick with the recommended R1 zoning, the site will become home to a single-room occupancy development, SRO for short. Well, I'm simply telling you what's possible with these zonings. With 35 rooms and a maximum height of 3 stories, for anyone who doesn't know what an SRO is, those are small studios for one individual with shared bathroom and kitchen facilities and will very likely target people in the extremely low income, 0 to 30% MFI. Given the flexibility of CM2 zoning, the project will include either 21 bedrooms and 10 one to two bedrooms, or 32 studios and 10 two bedrooms, and the potential of affordable ground floor commercial space. The maximum height would be 5 stories with the commercial ground floor, or 4 stories without. CM2 provides an added benefit to the community as well. It comes with a design overlay, which includes staff overview, public input, and an appeals process. R1 does not provide any of this. So I just wanted everyone to be clear what you're advocating for and against, because it's 1 to 2 stories and it's, you know, a different number of units, and something is going to happen on that parking lot despite what some people want. And I just want to make sure everyone's clear on what the potentials are.
Thank you very much. Can I see a showing of hands as to how many people in the audience would like to testify today? Okay, Carla, we did not have a sign up. Is that correct?
Correct. We did
so
not.
What I'd like you to do, if you wouldn't mind, because we're sort of making this up as we go along, is with everyone who's raised your hand, will you please make a line in the back of the chambers and come over to Carla's desk, and we'll take people on a first-come, first-basis. She will ask for your name. She will call 3 at a time. You will each be given 2 minutes. And to those of you in the audience who are demonstrating during the testimony, all I would say is this is our chance to hear from your neighbors their testimony. So I would urge us maybe to bring down the temperature on our commentary, and let's have a hearing in which we listen intently to people that want to put their statements into the record. So Carla, yeah?
Can I ask whether or not staff was planning on presenting about 53, which was related? I wasn't sure if you were also going to hear testimony from the same...
I don't think anyone's here to testify on that. We'll do this first, and then we'll ask if there's anyone who wants to testify.
Okay.
I'm seeing 53 is, in effect, the third choice.
53 is the property that neighbors this
yes,
site?
Yes, I'm sorry, Marty. Would you walk us through that?
Very quickly, because I want to respect people's time here.
While Marty's pulling this up, Carla, do you think we could make up a little sheet and just have people sign it? And then what we'll do is once you put your name down, you can be seated, and then we'll call you forward to testify so you don't have to stand there the whole time.
So Amendment 53, this is just a very quick slide that I put together this morning, is the tax lot that is immediately north of the surface parking lot. The current zoning is a R2.5 zone with an A overlay, and as I understand, the new amendment is that the proposal is for it to go to R1. So I just wanted to show you kind of some aerial photos in a street view of what is being introduced as a new amendment today.
Commissioner Fritz?
Thank you. I just wanted everybody here and people at home to know that I handed this out to both the city attorney and the council clerk and to members of the council at the beginning of the hearing. This shows a wider version of what's being shown on the screen here, which is the zoning of the entire area. And we're talking about, this is Martin Luther King Boulevard, this is Alberta and Killingsworth. So this is to the west of Martin Luther King Jr. Boulevard, and it shows how this area is, the whole area is currently zoned R2.5 or single family. And I realize that the two new members of the council were not here when we had the discussion of the comprehensive plan map, but Commissioner Fish and Commissioner Saltzman and I, along with Mayor Hales and Commissioner Novick, went through the whole city looking at what are the patterns of development, what makes sense, what doesn't make sense. So this is the context of what we're talking about here, and we're now being asked to hone in on just this single lot and now the lot next to it. This is a refinement project. However, as individual lots come in, then adjacent property owners, as has just happened, can say, well, me too. On the other hand, this is the last me too opportunity. And so I think a case could be argued for either doing the whole area or not the whole area, and that's not kind of what we're at that's not the process we're in at this point. That's my take on the issue. Thank you.
Commissioner Daly?
It has, in fact, been very challenging to come in at the end of this process. I think the comprehensive plan is 17 banker's boxes full of documents, and I've been reading those documents as they've been coming back before council. But I want to be clear, my amendment is not due to a lack of understanding about the history of conversations around zoning in this neighborhood. My amendment is about acknowledging the ways in which the city and other entities have utilized discriminatory public policy to exclude certain types of housing and certain types of people. And so when I look at this map, which is, I think, 2.5, this corridor, if I'm looking at it the right, honestly, I can't quite make out where we are. I think the map supports upzoning on Alberta, not into the neighborhoods, and could achieve greater racial and economic integration, which is my priority, especially in inner north northeast Portland.
Certainly one I believe the whole council shares.
And because of the importance of this issue, we're sort of creating a hybrid process here to make sure that folks get to be heard. We're going to start calling people up three at a time. All you have to do is give us your name. You don't have to give us your address. And I just want to offer some friendly guidance. If you think someone else has succinctly stated your case, it's okay to simply say that rather than repeat word for word what your neighbor has just said. There's no extra credit for just repeating the same thing over and over again. We usually get it the first or second time. We're paying a lot of attention today. We thank you for taking time out of your busy lives to be here. So, Carla, would you please call the first three names?
Okay, we have a total of 9 people signed up. The first three are Rich Rogers, Jackie Walton, and Elizabeth Deal.
Okay, welcome, everybody. Mr. Rogers, if you'd like to start.
Thanks. Commissioners, Rich Rogers from Community Development Partners. We're the affordable housing developer behind this proposal. Quick note on process. We submitted this proposal in July of last year, 2017, under the Map Refinement Project. That project was set up, I believe, to facilitate development of affordable housing. Our project met the criteria as we read it, and so we submitted the proposal through that process. When the staff report came out, it was erroneous on 2 levels. One, they failed to acknowledge that our proposal was an affordable housing development, and that was confirmed to me by Planning Commission staff. Secondly, it was silent on our request to deal with the zoning on the Abbey proper. So based on that error, which we communicated to the mayor's office and to staff, we asked for an amendment to correct what we felt was a mistake in the record. And that's, I think, how we ended up here where we are today. We are early in the process. We're committed to working with the neighbors. We're going to move our small office into the Abbey across the street. This is just the beginning. We will be back out when we have things farther along to work collaboratively with the neighborhood. The design overlay gives the neighbors an opportunity to take a bite out of the apple, if it were. And furthermore, I've lived in Inner Northeast for 18 years. I've been working on housing and housing policy for 20-some-odd years in this community. We want to be good neighbors. We're committed to good opportunities for affordable housing, but we want all these things to work together, and appreciate you creating this process and giving us the opportunity. Thanks.
Thank you very much. Welcome. All we need is your name.
Hi, my name is Elizabeth Deal. I live at 5045 Northeast Mallory, which is 3 doors down from the proposed parking lot site and 2 doors down from now the Hicks residents, who is asking for commercial or Udaly's new amendment to include their lot as well. I first and foremost want to say that as a longtime Portland resident and a nurse, I understand the housing crisis. I think that this is an urgent need, and I am glad to hear that Community Development Partners is going to build affordable housing. What I oppose is the scale. I oppose the spot zoning. I hope the Abbey can be R1 so CDP can turn that into a community art space. That sounds wonderful. It's currently a community art space, and we would like to make that legal. We would love to see affordable housing built on that lot. It is important, and we welcome this. But we think that the scale commercial zoning will allow is way too big for a residential neighborhood. Additionally, this is a classic example of spot zoning, and just what's happening now, it spreads. Where does this end? You know, can I throw in my lot to get upzoned so I can jump on the wagon? The process has been confusing. I don't understand why we are allowing amendments for spot zoning when the city has spent millions of dollars on these comprehensive plans, the Albina plan, the Better Housing by Design project. All of these strive for consistency and for smart, sustainable development that addresses the housing need as well as some of the old discriminatory practices. I'm really troubled that we are even deliberating this and now proposing a new amendment to allow this to spread. I think we're undermining the hard work you guys have already done on these other projects.
Let me just say, in defense of a process that may not appear on the surface to be perfect, by putting all the amendments on the table, we're actually, by changing our rules and allowing testimony, we're actually creating a record, and that was the goal, enhancing transparency. And I appreciate
the
concerns you have about it. My daughter recently announced she wants to be a nurse. So,
well, we are passionate people.
There you go. Thank you very much for joining us. Welcome.
Hi, I'm Jackie Walton, and I live in the King neighborhood. And I'm going to read my prepared statement. So I enthusiastically support R1 zoning for the Alberta Abbey Church, but I cannot endorse CM2 zoning for the parking lot. Instead, I'm asking you to approve Commissioner Fritz's new amendment to Amendment 19. I'm not alone in this opinion. The experts at the BPS also endorse R1 zoning for the parking lot. So why aren't we listening to our experts? Rezoning to CM2 would allow the developer community development partners to build a five-story, almost 50-unit mixed-use apartment building. A commercial building of that height and mass does not fit the residential character of the neighborhood, which is zoned R2.5. In fact, a building of that size would tower over the neighborhood's modest bungalows. Similarly, the local infrastructure, which includes narrow 24-foot roads, is not designed to handle the density that a mixed-use apartment building of that size would bring. On the other hand, with R1 zoning, we could have a smaller residential building that can be constructed that's in harmony with the neighborhood and still provide the much-needed affordable housing that this developer says he wants to create. For the record, I also want to state how deeply disappointed I am in this city and in this developer for a complete absence of community outreach and engagement. The city let us down by not telling us about the proposed zoning changes and not giving us adequate time to provide testimony. Only neighbors within 100 feet of the parking lot received notices from the BPS, and those notices were so vaguely worded that they didn't even identify the address of the site or the zoning code. For its part, Community Development Partners did not notify the King Neighborhood Association of its plans, and to make matters worse, during the past few weeks, the developer has repeatedly insulted neighbors on social media and in misleading flyers. If not for the vigilance of a few neighbors, no one in the neighborhood would have known about this project. In conclusion, we need residential solutions for residential neighborhoods, not spot zoning of commercial buildings to cater to a developer's need to make a project, quote, pencil out, unquote. Please listen to the city's own experts, not a developer, and implement R1 zoning on the Alberta Abbey parking lot. Thank you.
Thank you very much. And if you'd like, if you gave your written testimony to Carla, it becomes part of the official record.
I have. And you all will get this plus a bunch of photographs of the houses that are near the site and other things from social media that I
And we'll keep the record open until Friday.
Thank you.
So thank you very much. Carla, would you call the next three?
Our Tom Lakovic, Ashley Lakovic, and Art Alexander.
Who would like to go first?
You can go down.
Sir, go ahead.
Hi. hi, my name is Tom Lakovic. I'm a resident. I literally live in the shadow of the proposed development. I guess one point is the renderings that were provided to everyone were idealized in the sense of shown without any context. They're on a white background as though in a heavenly cloud. They're not. They're on our street. And if you put so much as one of our houses next door to it, which somebody here has, we're literally in the shadow. And so it's not just about we don't want development on our street. I am completely a proponent of smart, responsible Portland growth. I know we're not in the era of Keep Portland Weird. I know we're growing the city, and we could anticipate double the population we have. And completely in favor of it happening in our neighborhood. And the commercial strip and the MLK strip, this is completely inappropriate. It's an appropriate proposition to put it right inside of this traditionally almost Lad's Edition-like pocket of Northeast is irresponsible, I think. And one point that I wanted to address from you, Commissioner Udaly, was where you said, and I called your office and I got the same remark too, that's like we've been hearing from people for this and against this. We can't find one person that's for it in our neighborhood. So unless those people are the Hicks or the developer, we can't find a single resident. The number of people here represent about 1/10 of our Facebook group. And if there's someone in favor of it, I can't find them.
Thank you very much. Welcome.
Hello. Thank you for your time. I am Tom's wife, and
Did you put your name in the record?
Sorry, Ashley Lakovic, okay. And this would be our house right here. So this is the view from the other side of it. I did it to scale. I'm a designer for a living, but if you look at this is one floor, that's two floors, three, four, five. If you walk around our neighborhood, you will not find a five-story building within 2 to 3 miles. It's just not in keeping with what the neighborhood is doing. We feel it's too big. We firmly believe that affordable housing is really important and would welcome Amanda Fritz's proposition to make it R1. That seems very reasonable to us. Also, our street right now, it's a wonderful street full of caring neighbors. It's 24 feet wide. We have to take turns and wave at each other to drive one car at a time down the street. You cannot park on Alberta because it's just one lane. If you're adding another 51 units of families, how many people and how many cars are that? Where is the traffic going to go? Nobody on our block has driveways. It's just too big for what we have, and we believe that everything should kind of grow together. This will dominate and be a horrible addition to the neighborhood as proposed currently. And also,
You have 30 seconds left.
When we bought this house, it was a little bit in disrepair. We overbid two developers who wanted to tear it down, but we believe in character craftsman homes. We put a lot of work into the neighborhood, and we believe that this is worth fighting for. Thank you for your time.
Thank you for joining us. Mr. Alexander, welcome.
Hello. Art Alexander, Northeast Portland. I think everybody else is going to cover issues about the site specific. My big concern is a character question. I don't understand what kind of developer that claims to be community-oriented would bring this forward to council without having gone to the neighborhood first. There's something like basic that in my gut bothers me about the idea that someone's first instinct would be to try and do it this way rather than put a big sign up on the parking lot saying, "Hi, I'm a developer. I want to do something wonderful in this neighborhood. I want to put some housing up here. I want you guys to help me. I want you to be a part of it. I don't want to damage your life." That's what a good developer would do. I know when I work for Mike, and if he asked me to go out and work on a project like that, that's the first thing I would do. There's something wrong with somebody whose first instinct is to hide it from the community. And I'm also bothered by the person's second instinct when they first heard that there was opposition. Rather than coming and knocking on doors and talking to people and asking why are you opposed and doing that, we start to hear suggestions that somehow there's some NIMBYism or just ridiculous stuff being sprinkled out there. I have a problem with the character of someone who behaves like that. And I really question whether or not I believe anything that developer says is going to happen. That's my statement. And I also want to add that while, yes, it could be SRO on that, I don't mind SRO. and that that's not the only thing that could go on that. What I'd like to see come out of this is that the developer actually does what he just said he wants to do. See, that's what bothers me. He gave you that little speech about work with the neighborhoods, move in. Why didn't he do that 2 months ago? Anyway, that's the end of my remarks. I'm bothered by the nature in which this happened, and I'm bothered by the fact that council, nobody in council went back to him and say, oh, you know, this is kind of impactful. You should go talk to the neighbors. I, as far as I know, nobody directed him to even try that, and that bothers me.
Thank you, Art, very much. Carla, how many more?
We have the last three.
Okay, thank you.
Our Margaret O'Harting Gunn, or Gurr, I believe it is, Ursula Keenbaum, and Marika Nato.
Welcome to City Council.
Thank you.
Who would like to go first?
Margaret O'Hartigan. I live at 5001 Garfield Avenue. That is on the corner of Garfield and Alberta. We just had a beautiful grocery store open up across Garfield from us. We've been waiting 18 years. I've lived at that house for 18 years. My disabled wife would be here, but it's too hard to get around with breathing difficulties and the wheelchair. I can see the Alberta Abbey directly from my kitchen window. If a five-story building went in on the parking lot, I would be able to see it over the top of the house behind me, which is already 2.5 stories tall. I completely support affordable housing. When I was a kid, my parents threw me out of the house because I was seeking sex reassignment at the University of Minnesota Hospital Program. I've lived on the street. I've done what you need to live on the street. I am not afraid of SROs in our neighborhood. That is what helped get me off the street, was having that as something to get. I am worried that the developer thinks that an SRO is some kind of threat to our neighborhood. Walnut Park has a history of welcoming people. The western end of it has housing projects. We have welfare offices. We have the unemployment office. We embrace those that are less fortunate because we know we've been there. We could be there. They are our neighbors. We welcome more neighbors. We want them to enjoy a quality of life. And if that's a 2 or 3 or 4 story building, but to stick commercial in our neighborhood and to not deal with any of the neighbors about this, I measured it. I'm like 120 feet from the parking lot. I never received any notice about this. It will impact me. We took 18 years to pay off that house. We didn't go to restaurants. We didn't go out. And we knew the neighborhood would change, but we did not know that that would be inflicted on us to that degree. Thank you so much for letting me testify.
Thank you for joining us. Welcome.
Thank you. My name's Ursula Keenbaum, and I'm a resident of King Neighborhood. I live on Mallory Avenue, about 4 houses down from the proposed development site. I've lived in within 2 or 3 houses, I guess I'm 5 houses now, of Northeast Alberta Avenue since 2001 when my husband and I moved to Portland from Montana and were able to buy our first home. Since that time, and I know I'm not alone in this, I've watched the changes that have happened, particularly in the Alberta area and Northeast Portland. And during my years as a resident of King and Concordia prior to that, I have watched developers come in again and again, and oftentimes through predatory practices, deprive homeowners of their property rights or encourage homeowners to leave their homes, to sell their homes. I have had my windows shaking on my house on Northeast 22nd Avenue and on Mallory Avenue with construction of large buildings next door to my home. Development has been a reality of mine since I moved to Northeast Portland in 2001. Vast majority of that development has not been in line with my values. I support affordable housing on the Alberta Abbey lot, and I want to be very clear about that. I do not support CM2 for the fact that it is too large and out of scale for the neighborhood. I also want to point out that there is a potential historic tree located on the Hicks property, an over 200-year-old Douglas fir tree that is straddling the property between the Abbey and the Hicks property that is now apparently up for grabs as well. I am in the process of trying to nominate that tree, but as you know, it requires property owner's consent, which, given the request for R1, is less likely. In other words, I want to just state my support for Commissioner Fritz's amendment for R1 for both lots, please.
Thank you very much. Welcome.
Hi, my name is Marika Nato, and I live next to Ursula at 5124 Northeast Mallory. My husband Alex and I bought our home almost 5 years ago when we fell in love with the big trees and the quiet, shady sidewalks and the neighborhood feel, and we really fell in love with the idea of raising our family there. I'm now 8 months pregnant, and sorry, emotional, ignore that, and we've spent the last few months doing a lot of work on our house, getting it ready to bring our baby home and raise our family here. However, last week, my husband had major surgery, and as I was sitting by his bed in the hospital, I heard from our neighbors about Amendment 19. Sorry. I'm not nearly as well-versed as everyone else here about it, so I'll let them get into all the technical bits.
You're doing great, and take your time.
But to say I'm disappointed is an understatement. I'm worried that adding a five-story building just a few houses down from our house will really change the feeling of our neighborhood. It will stop it from being a place where we walk our kids down the sidewalk and it'll be really busy. It will start a domino effect, as we're already seeing with neighbors selling out their properties and maybe their houses being torn down and turned into other things. It just isn't the future that we had imagined for our family. Also, as it stands, when the Abbey has events, it is impossible to find parking on our street, which we completely understand. We support the community events, and when there's these occasional things, we happily park a few blocks away. However, as people have mentioned, there's not room for two people to pass on the street. We don't have driveways. I'm very concerned about where everyone would park if there was five stories of development here, and I wouldn't be able to park in front of my house. I'll be parking blocks away trying to tote my dogs and babies and groceries to try to get back to my house. So I want to say that I absolutely understand and support the need for development and affordable housing, but I would just like to see it done to scale with our neighborhood. If he wasn't under doctor's orders, my husband would be here as well, so I came to represent him too. But his family for generations has been a strong proponent of development in Portland, as probably you know, but always tempered with a respect for maintaining the history and character of our city and our neighborhoods. We aren't recent organ transplants. My husband was born and raised in Northeast Portland. Our family is almost all within a few miles, and we're all committed members of the Portland community. So we just ask that you keep our neighborhood and our community and our family in mind when voting on this issue.
Thank you very much, and good luck to you. Carla, does that conclude the people who signed the list?
That's all who signed up.
Is there anyone who did not get a chance to testify who would like to testify at this point? Okay. You've already read. So we're now going to conclude the oral testimony portion. Marty, if you could come up, I want to just review the run of show for next week. It's my intention to find a time certain with Carla for next week to take up first the amendments, Amendment 53, Fritz Amendment to Amendment 19, and Amendment 12, so we would have discussion and votes only. And then at the same time, following those votes, we would vote on the substitute ordinance that incorporates all the votes that we took today and next week. Is that correct?
Yes.
And I also have 17 listed next week as
17.
Well.
17. Okay. That is the site up in University Park.
That's the one that Mr. Karwacki has flagged about the heritage tree?
Correct.
Okay. So that also will go to a second to a vote next week. Do we need to have Carla now set the time?
That would be lovely.
Carla, can you find us 15 minutes next week, time certain?
Probably either the morning at 11. We have a very big agenda next Wednesday morning, or it'll be 4:45 in the afternoon of May 2nd.
Let me do a quick straw poll here. Colleagues, do you all intend to be here Wednesday afternoon? Dan?
If we're in session. We have something scheduled.
We have something that afternoon. And so this would be the last item. I would just like to make sure we get a full complement of commissioners. So would that work with you, ladies?
So you're asking us, do we want to skip lunch or do we want to skip dinner?
I just think if we say 11, it's not going to happen at 11, given our record. So I think it makes more sense to make it the last item in the afternoon.
I agree.
Folks, we're going to now schedule the council discussion and vote on the amendments, which we've highlighted today, and on the substitute ordinance, which incorporates everything we voted on, for next Wednesday, which is
May 2nd.
May 2nd, thank you, at 4:45 here at City Council. The record will remain open until Friday. Okay. So,
Friday at 5 p.m., or do you have a...
What's your preference, Marty?
5 p.m. is fine.
All right. The record will be open until Friday.
If I might make my usual amendments, make it Monday at 8 a.m.
Okay. Do you mind? Is that okay?
That is fine.
So the record will be open until Monday at 8 a.m.
Monday, April 30th.
Right. And anyone who is here or who is not here is entitled to submit written testimony. If you want to supplement any testimony you've given, you would have that right. And it will be reviewed. So, Marty, where does that leave us?
Oh, gosh.
I think that's it.
I think that's it for today. Because we'll just come back on Wednesday, May 2nd, and do the full vote at that time. Is that correct? Okay.
So we have another matter we're going to take up in a few minutes, right? We're going to segue. Mm-hmm. Commissioner Udaly.
While everyone's still in the room, I want to address a few things that came up. First of all, I want to thank everyone for coming today and giving your testimony. If this wasn't my job, I know I'd have a hard time coming downtown in the middle of a weekday, and so it's always appreciated. I'm heartened to hear that most or almost all of you support affordable housing, but I need you to understand that very few neighborhoods want it in their neighborhoods. So we are really facing an extraordinary challenge in finding sites that are suitable and acceptable to neighbors. So that's why we're having this conversation. The SRO comments, the developer in no way has suggested that SROs are a threat or a negative in as far as who it will serve. The con to that is that fewer people will be housed, and we don't get any family-sized units out of that development, and we're really short on family-sized affordable units. As far as community outreach, Mr. Alexander, the developer did, in fact, hear quite an earful from my office about their lack of engagement with the neighborhood. Had I known that so little had been done, I would have gone about this differently. Although it's not my job to go out and engage the neighborhood, it should be the developer's job. I wouldn't go so far to say that I wouldn't have made the amendment, but I'm really sorry that this came as a surprise to all of you. I don't think the lack of community engagement negates the value of the development. But that's what we're here to talk about. The Hicks family, just to be clear, that's a residential zoning. It's not commercial. I had a meeting with the matriarch of the family and one of the children, and it was a really tough moment for me where I realized in my pursuit of a remedy of historic wrongs, I was perhaps negatively impacting a family who has been the subject of some of those historic wrongs. So it's a complicated, tough issue, and I just want you to know I'm listening to all of this, and I really appreciate the input. And then finally, parking, probably the most important and possible part of this conversation. We definitely need to look at that more. So thank you, everybody.
So, Commissioner Fritz?
Thank you. I just want to thank everybody for coming as well, and we won't be taking testimony next time, so you don't need to get off work again. I agree with Commissioner Udaley. We really appreciate the effort, because as much as I and others enjoy reading emails, it makes a difference when we actually hear it face-to-face and in person, so thank you for that. I also, there's so much rhetoric about the need for housing in Portland, and in fact, there's so much need for housing in Portland. So I just want to send you home with some information, because we worked on the comprehensive plan for the last 4 years. And as a result of that, we have zoned capacity in the current comprehensive plan for 249,000 more units. 249,000 more units. And most of them are multifamily units. So when people tell you we've got to add more density to save the UGB, we've got to add more density to get more housing, we have the capacity. What we have to do is get more housing and figure out how to do that. And just, again, on the UGB issue, Metro's allocation to us is 130,000 new units. So we've got over 100,000 more units that we can build. We've got to figure out how to build them. And I think, and I know Mr. Rogers has heard the community wanting to work on this project. The way to do it is to do that outreach and work together on it. And I believe that we need to respect the processes that a legislative process can do. And then there is the option of the quasi-judicial process. If somebody wants a particular lot to be zoned differently, there is a process to do that as well. And so that's where I'm coming from, and that's what the argument I'll be making next week. But just remember that number. 249,000 more units can be built in Portland once we make this vote on May 24th.
No, please. No, we're not taking any more testimony. Danny, you want to say something? So, folks, we're going to take a 3-minute break. That concludes our deliberations today on the MAP refinement project. And in 3 minutes, we're going to come back and pick up the code reconciliation project, where we have some business. So we'll take a 3-minute break.